The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Burt Show.
So we can now tell you who the celebrity was that we were interviewing yesterday. We couldn't do it because their record label was concerned that had we told you guys what we were doing, you would have shown up at the radio station and it would have been a total cluster.
We would have had a mob outside.
So you can't believe how excited, man, we all were yesterday to interview Post freaking Malone.
You're the being the most excited of all.
It's sure. Post Malone. Okay, now we're still cutting up the audio from the interview, and we're going to play it for you guys at 8 o'clock. But based on that, I mean, it's Post Malone. He's one of the top five artists in the world right now. And if I had to be honest with you guys, in looking back at this interview, I would say it is the most uncomfortable ending to an interview I have ever experienced in my career. Uncomfortable and embarrassing. And that is exactly what I will remember. My buffoonery at the end of this interview, especially because it was all lined up so perfectly, so perfectly. So Kristen had the idea of, you know what would be really great is let's play beer pong with Post Malone. And I said, let's add to that. We've never done an interview while we're actually playing a game with a celebrity. So, I mean, Tommy and the promotion staff and the program director had the hall lined up so perfectly for beer pong yesterday. It looked so good.
It really did. Now, granted, we had some parameters, like there was a massive HR headquarters meeting, so we weren't allowed to use real beer, so we had to use near beer. And then,
which tasted really good, by the way.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't. No. It tasted like real beer to me.
It was very near beer.
Turns out at the end of the interview, I needed something way, way heavier than beer.
And of course, the engineers were concerned about spillage, so we looked like we were about to kill somebody in the hallway, very Dexter style, because we had like plastic sheeting. But yeah, everything, we had a very professional, it was like a professional beer pong table that Tommy had purchased, and everything was set up, and we had, you know, Bert and Post Malone were posted up on one side. Abby, Mo, and I were posted up on the other. And we had a blast playing beer pong with Posty.
It was a surreal experience. Okay, I'm on the same side of a beer pong table with Post Malone to my left. I'm playing beer pong. We're all playing beer pong with Post Malone. Abby steps up and clearly has never played the game before. It just really sucks at it.
Oh, what sucks is I have played the game before. I just happen to be that bad at it. I'm more of a flip cup girly myself.
I've never seen anybody shoot beer pong underhanded before.
Abby has an underhand beer pong toss. That's not a thing.
Well, I mean, I got close that one shot. The other four that I missed, a different story.
Hey, listen, I appreciated your grainy shot at beer pong. I thought it was very nice.
It was like a softball pitch. I winded it up, went underhand, gave it a little whoop.
One of them almost took both out.
Yeah. Almost hit him right in the southern region there.
Yeah.
And then Mo and I are out there, and we're practicing beforehand, right? And Mo is missing shots left and right. He's hitting it off one wall, and he's hitting it off the other one. And I'm swishing. Woo! One!
He
right
wasn't
after
missing
right
one.
After that. I wasn't missing, but I'm feeling so good about myself. And then it's time to actually play the game. And Mo?
The lights came on, and we switched roles. I'm hitting everything. I think I hit, like, the first two, and Bert, you couldn't buy a basket anymore.
I couldn't buy a basket. I think I just got nervous.
Did you get nervous?
I think I just got nervous. Especially when Post Malone goes, before we started playing, he's like, oh, we play this almost every day on tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, so... and then sort of at the end, when he really wasn't very good, he started making excuses. Did you guys hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
Yeah, oh, this isn't a regulation size beer pong table.
But the last couple of minutes, he couldn't buy a shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just like clank, clank, clank so much so that at that point, things were going so well in the interview that I started giving him crap about it. I'm like, have you ever even played beer pong before? So it's going great. And the one thing about him that I think you'll hear in the interview right off the bat, and it was Abby that mentioned it in studio, is that I'll do hours of research on a celebrity before we interview them. And there's always a little anxiety and all a little nervousness. But I think we all felt the same way going into this one.
Yeah, I felt really at ease just because he just doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that has an air of pretentiousness to it. So I felt like, you know, if you throw a question at him, and this is your biggest concern as an interviewer, is like, am I going to throw a question that's going to make him freeze up? Or am I going to sound awkward asking it? And I was just kind of like, I feel like no matter what I ask this guy, he's just going to be like, yeah, and answer it in the best way he can.
Especially because in every interview that I watched of him, and I watched so many, because you can figure out how it's going to go. Are they tight? Are they loose? Are they willing to give you answers? What should you stay away from? What shouldn't you? So I was so at ease yesterday that I had no nervousness really about this interview whatsoever. And I knew it was going to go great. And it did, until it didn't. At the very end, where I'm going to tell you straight up, when you listen to this whole thing, you got to listen through it to the end, because it's the most embarrassing thing that has probably ever happened to me in my career.
And I know Bert has said numerous times on the air, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. This is not an exaggeration.
This one's up.
This is a very truthful depiction of the interview that we had with Post Malone yesterday.
Certainly one I will never forget.
I will never forget it either, because I'm an idiot. A total and complete idiot.
I think we would all co-sign on that statement.
Not going to fight you on that one.
It was all going so well until it wasn't. So give us about 20 minutes and we're going to play the entirety of the interview. And then when it goes sideways, we're going to have to break and then come back and fill in all the behind the scenes stuff for you guys, because it's going to take us more than one segment to explain it to you. Stick around.
The Bert Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift.
Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
What do you have going on in your life this weekend that we would be really interested in following up with you guys on Monday? What kind of drama? Are you walking into a hornet's nest? Maybe it's something really great going down this weekend. You tell us about it today, and then we hit you up on Monday and find out how it went. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Kristen has one of these.
I know you guys are on the edge of your seats. You're going to be on pins and needles all weekend long wondering, how did Jimmy Jam's first at bat go for his very first T-ball game?
The only thing that could really go wrong is him screwing himself into the ground. Because that's the way he swings.
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to happen. as long as we make just a little bit of contact with the ball. So, yes, this weekend, the Rockies are playing, I don't know who. I got to look at the game changer.
Doesn't even matter.
The not Rockies.
The losing team, right? So, Granny and Papaw Bill are driving into town today so they can see Jimmy at his first T-ball game. He's going to be wearing his uni for the first time, his white baseball pants, his purple socks, his little purple belt, and his Rockies hat that you have to tuck his ears into because it's so big. And he's going to get up there and he's going to be waiting to go up to bat. Then it's going to be his turn. And as he's walking up to bat, you're going to hear his at-bat music you all selected. Jimmy had a pediatrician appointment yesterday, okay? And it's his four-year checkup because he just turned four, had to get two immunizations. So he was, you know, he was feeling a little sore. His legs were hurting,
oh,
right?
Oh, I see.
And the only thing that was going to make him feel better, I go, Bubba, you want me to put on the Jimmy song so it'll make you feel better? And he's like, yes, mama. I need my Jimmy song. It'll make me feel better. I've been rocking that song, so we're going to rock it this weekend at his first T-ball game.
You got to run video the entire time because it never gets any better than this. When these guys don't know what they're doing, they get a hit and they run to third base. everybody in the field, you got nine players out there, right? And when the ball is hit, they all converge on the ball at the same time.
Some of the parents have given me a heads up, too, in this particular league that for the small ball, and the fields are
so cute, man.
That a lot of times parents end up going standing next to their child out in the outfield or wherever to kind of guide them and tell them what to do.
That's a thing.
Oh, yeah, apparently that's a thing. So at some point in time, Bart might be actually making his way out there with Jimmy to instruct him on what to do. And I just have to try to convince this kid to not play in the dirt. Like, you just stop playing in the dirt.
You know, there's going to be three other kids out there playing in the dirt, too, so it won't be that weird. Let me just warn you about this right now, as far as the parents go, even though this is his first game.
And they're only four, dude.
They're only four. This won't matter with a couple of the parents, right? Between the ages of 4, 5, 6, and 7, you don't even keep score, right?
No.
At least not on the scoreboard. Here's what I'm warning you about. The parents keep score. They know.
Oh, my God.
They know who's winning and who's losing. And you know what? So do the players. Maybe not this year, but next year for sure. All right, so the question is, what's going on in your life this weekend that we can invest in and then check back with you on Monday morning and see how it all went? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, what's going on this weekend?
My roller derby team is going to Macon, Georgia, and we are going to be a part of the attempt to break the world's largest kazoo ensemble record in the Guinness Book of World Records.
So we saw the phone, and it said, my roller derby team is going to attempt world record. And I think we safely assumed that it had something to do with your roller derby team and them doing something roller derby like adjacent, but no, you guys are, your team is just going to make into blow on kazoos.
Heck yeah.
Okay. We might be able to help you out here.
Okay.
Okay. So what is the world record? How many people have gathered before for a kazoo orchestra?
It was broken 2023 in Australia by 10,000 something people. Macon, Georgia is where it came from. Like, Macon, Georgia is where the kazoo was invented.
I didn't know that.
The more you know. Right? Again, we are friggin' NPR today.
Today is old.
I had no idea. Now, as far as I know, at least through this morning, we were on in Macon, so we might be able to help you with this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need more than 10,000 people to show up with kazoo. Do you have kazoos for them, or do they have to bring own kazoo?
So Visit Macon is actually supplying the kazoos when you purchase your ticket. That's $5.
Awesome.
And they will give you a kazoo, and you show up, and doors open at 4, and they start blowing at 6.
They start blowing away. All right, so Bridget, how many people is Macon hoping to gather today to break this record? Like, what's the goal?
I don't know the answer to that. Over 10,000.
Okay.
10,001.
Yeah. That's all it takes. 10,001, right? Do you guys actually have, like, the Guinness Book of World Records coming out just in case you do?
As far as I know, yes. They have all of that. The city of Macon set all that up. Our roller derby team, Middle Georgia Derby Demons, is just getting out in the community and helping support that and be a part of it. And I mean, I want my name in the Guinness Book of World Records,
that
man.
Would be fantastic. That's cool. And just, oh, I'm curious, how many people usually show up for a roller derby match?
Oh, for a roller derby match, or we call them bouts, you can have, you know, in Atlanta where you have big teams, you'll have several hundred people show up. So we're a smaller team in Macon Warner Robins, so we shoot for like 100, 150 people.
Oh, wow. So you really have to pull from the community on this one.
All right.
Okay.
I got some deets for us, people. Okay. Did a little Googling, and this is from a Macon news station, WMGT, all right? And the king of kazoo, Rick Hubbard, was interviewed. And the event is today at the Macon Amphitheater. Like Bridget said, gates open at 4. The attempt begins, like, they start blowing at 6. She is correct. There will be a performance to follow. I don't know what that's involving. Admission, $5 for adults, free for children 6 and under. And according to Visit Macon, organizers are attempting to facilitate the largest kazoo ensemble, bringing the record back home to the good old US of A, where it belongs.
That's where it belongs.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. And the legacy of the kazoo back to where it all began in Macon almost 200 years ago. That's how old the kazoo is, 200 years.
Wow. I can't think of anything that represents America more than a kazoo right now.
And according to this article, the current record is 5,190 participants and was achieved in London in 2011.
Huh? Okay.
I think you guys can do this.
Let's take down the Brits again.
The more you know. All right, Bridget, good luck this weekend. I want to put you on hold. I want to get your phone number. And when we talk to you on Monday, you're going to say, we did it! We're in the Guinness Book of World Records!
Yeah!
And Tommy, please, I want to also, we're going to get Bridget on. I would really, really, really like to get the King of Kazoo on as well.
Yeah, man.
Rick Hubbard on the show on Monday if they do indeed break this record. Because I think, what a coup if we could get the King of Kazoo on the show on Monday when they break this record.
Well, he's barring it up over there.
And bro's still with us?
Yeah, he just got interviewed.
Okay, cool.
I'm looking at a picture of him. He's alive and kicking and wearing his American flag shirt, man.
Yes, he is.
Man, ready to go.
All right, we're going to stick with athletic feats. Good morning, Mike. You were on the Burt Show. Why do we want to check back with you on Monday?
Good morning.
Morning.
I am running a 50-kilometer trail race in Alabama tomorrow morning.
Ooh, why?
50K. Dude, what's the matter with you? 50K.
You all right?
50.
What are you running from? What's going on, fam?
Who can tell us.
Are you running from the law? Well, I mean, 50K.
Sorry, Mike, that's not the reaction you should have got. Way to go, Mike! That's awesome for you. Look at you.
It's something I've been working towards for years. This is actually not my first one, but it's part of a series. I did one last month. I'm doing this month and next month as well. And it's, I don't know. You ask a good question about why. It's a good question.
Yeah, okay.
He's never stopped to think about it until this moment.
Something to look into.
Honestly, because I'm 54 and I can.
So hey, man. Oh, okay. Wait, let's stick with this for a second here, dude. At 54 years old, you're running this is your first 50K?
It's not. I've done one last month, and I did a couple last year. So it's something I've been working towards for a couple of years.
Mike,
how long does it take to run a 50K? Like, how long are you running?
Well, fast people run it in 4 or 5 hours. Myself, I'm shooting for cutoff, which is 9.5 hours.
What?
9.5 hours of running?
What?
Dang. Nah.
There's so many other hobbies.
More power to you, brother.
Now,
take up knitting. You're already in your 50s.
Have you read the contract? Like, after the first 1K, can you get into an Uber to take you to 48?
You can do whatever you want, but you're not going to pass. You're not going to complete the challenge. So. Dude,
that's amazing, man. Well, first of all, congratulations for even attempting it, especially at 54. But I definitely want to talk to you on Monday if you're still with us.
He might be out of breath.
Okay. Good luck, man.
Good luck, Mike.
My legs are going to hurt, but we'll
no
be-
doubt, man. Let's talk to you on Monday, okay?
Sounds great.
All right.
50K at 54.
Nine hours. Dang. Running nonstop for 9 hours.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm at an age I don't want to do anything for 9 hours.
No.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
Driving, nothing.
Sleeping.
Sleeping?
Yeah. Sleeping.
Good morning, Jessica. You were on the Burt Show. Why do we want to talk to you on Monday?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. So my friend, she just got dumped. And so me being the bestie, I'm going to go hang out with her this weekend, maybe throw on a movie like John Tucker Must Die or, you know, Single Women, you know, something to cheer up. But no, all she wants to talk about is going to hang out at this bar that she knows he goes to on Saturday nights. And I'm like, wait, what? No.
Oh, no.
We're supposed to do girl things. We're supposed to manicure it up. We're supposed to watch you and you see how crazy men are, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, she wants to go. And so I'm like, if I go with her, am I an enabler?
Like, yeah, but it makes for a good story. I'm like, I want to know.
Yes, a great friend and an enabler at the same time.
Can she get him back in one night or not? That's the challenge.
Can she?
This is not like how to lose a guy in 10 days. Like, what? No. she's going to embarrass herself, I feel like. He wasn't that good.
So the question is, can she win him back or can you, you're trying to block this from happening, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to be embarrassed. After she really gets her hand out of her butt, she'll realize that he was not good for her. I mean, I understand it's early in the breakup, but
I just feel like there's so much that can go wrong in a case like this.
Because
once alcohol starts to flowing and you're the one that's saying no, and there he is. That one can turn ugly quick.
Yeah, I have friends like this where they always want to find the guy where they're at the bar. It's the bar they go to every single weekend, and it always ends in disaster.
Strangely, I am most invested in the kazoo.
Absolutely.
The 50K is cool.
I've already sent the contact information to Tommy to get the King of Kazoo on Monday.
He's married, right? Because you can't really lead with that in a bar.
So what do you do?
I don't know.
I'm the king.
I'm the king of kazoo.
Of kazoo.
The Burt Show.
It's not often that I typically get to relate the guests that come on my podcast, the Breakup Breakdown that's on Burt's podcast network, the Pioneer Network, because I've never really been in a long-term serious relationship, so I've never really been cheated on. I've never really had like a devastating breakup. But every now and then, somebody will drop some lore about themselves in the podcast interview, and it strikes a different chord with me. So my podcast is all about people's worst breakups, and I get the stories through a variety of different submissions. Sometimes people submit things from TikTok that they've seen. Sometimes people will submit their own stories. Sometimes I do a little investigative work. So if you feel like someone soft launched a breakup, sometimes I'll slide into the DMs and get the details. And this specific breakup came from a TikTok that had been submitted to me. And it's this girl named Jubilee who has a TikTok account where she's basically deconstructing her entire religious background. And a lot of it has to do with her ex divorce that she just went through. So I got submitted this TikTok where she was talking about how a Disney World burger actually led to her finally getting a divorce. And I'll save that for the actual podcast interview. But she shared her experience in the church with me about how the church had influenced her to marry this guy that she wasn't even really sure she was into. And it reminded me a lot of the things that I had heard repeated in church circles that I had grown up with. So Jubilee, very, very passionate about her religion. She was a missionary trying to go into ministry in Pennsylvania. And she started dating this guy that is about 10 years older than her. She was 20. He was 30 at the time. And it's about a month into them dating. And they go to this church conference together. And at this church conference, there's this very famous prophet that does like this long bit where he basically does kind of like what John Edward does, but it's less about like seeing the future, talking to dead loved ones. And it's more about like, I'm communicating prophecies or things that I believe that God is telling me are to be true. So
the Lord's working through him to pass these messages.
Yes, he is a vessel for the Lord. Okay. So he's at this church, or her boyfriend at the time was at this church conference, and this prophet basically calls him out and says that Jubilee is like this gift from God. And I'll play the exact audio of when this happened.
I saw 50, but I know that 50 is Jubilee year. There's something about God's giving you a Jubilee. What does that mean to you? Oh, your girlfriend's name is Jubilee. That's awesome. Well, God's giving you this girl. And when we ordered the food this morning, by the way, this is a huge advertisement in the midst of prophesying. And it's a prophetic advertisement that tomato pie cafe place is like level 10 awesome. And we've been eating there for the mornings, and it's like they've been bringing us food kindly enough, and they're amazing. But does she have something to do with the tomato pie cafe? Does she works there? Okay.
So her boyfriend,
Jubilee from Tomato Pie Cafe.
So that is the clip, and that is where he said that God was giving him Jubilee. Now, in hindsight, I know that where I worked was on Facebook. The fact that we were in a relationship was also on Facebook. And he had met my ex the day before, so he was able to go home and find all that information. Hmm.
So her boyfriend had heard that and like communicated that to Jubilee and was like, this is a sign that we're supposed to be together. God wants us to be together forever because this prophet is saying it. And she basically found out later that this guy was going to get exposed for all of these lies. Like, he was basically finding these things on Facebook and pretending that he was a prophet, but he was, you know, getting all this information beforehand. So this prophet influences her to marry this guy that she wasn't really that into, but she's like, this is what the Lord wants. And long story short, it ends up being a really devastating breakup. A Disney World burger is the reason they ended up breaking up. And I'll let you listen to the actual podcast to find out the details.
A Disney World burger?
A Disney World burger at the Yak and Yeti restaurant at Animal Kingdom. So really, when we go for Bert's Big Adventure next time around, we need to go see what this burger is all about. But they end up breaking up. It's a really devastating divorce. It involves domestic violence. So definitely take some time and think about whether or not you want to listen to that before you turn it on. But it's a really interesting story and has so much religion weaved into it that I had to really confront a lot of my own demons and a lot of the things that I'm struggling with in terms of my own religious journey. For context, I grew up very, very Christian, grew up in the church, very conservative Southern environment. And that's just kind of all I've ever known. And I think as an adult, I've really had to confront whether or not these things like actually make sense for me as an adult. And I think Jubilee's story is something that really resonates with me because it's made me question, like, are a lot of the things that feel true and spiritual to me actually true and valid? Like, for example, this guy who says he's a prophet, he's very well renowned throughout the country and has the endorsements of all these major mega churches throughout the world. Like, if this had happened 2,000 years ago, he would have been like the 67th book of the Bible saying like, this guy is a prophet, but it really just turned out to be a sham, allegedly.
I want to see his search history on his computer.
Uh-huh. It's concerning. So when I heard that and I asked her, I was like, has this like really rocked your faith? Like, do you still like subscribe to Christianity? And for her, like, the answer is yes. Like, that didn't bother her at all. But for me, I see something like that, I'm like, this is the one of the reasons that I have really had to sit with some of these tough questions about religion and Christianity, because you have people like this who you sit there and you have so much credence for what they're saying, but really, like, they know that it's BS. Like, they're getting up on stage and saying that, you know, all of this stuff is spiritual and it's the word of God, but it really, it's not God. Like, it's Facebook, it's Mark Zuckerberg that you were Googling. Mm.
So why does this, I really want to dig in on this for a second. So why does this sort of shake your faith even more in what you've been taught your entire life?
Well, it feels a little bit like I see her and everything that she's gone through and she still continues to believe, but I'm like, how do we not look at the facts of like, people are lying to massive groups of vulnerable, impressionable young people going to these young conferences? And like, you don't see that could be a sign that there's systematic problems within the church. Like, if he's doing it, like, there's other people. Like, who's to say that half the Bible isn't completely made up from people who have that same kind of confidence in an ability to speak as if they are vessels for God.
I see what you're saying.
I could completely be wrong here, but isn't false prophets and false prophecy a part of the story in which they would try to like sway people away from God's work and his actual will? Like, hasn't that always been a part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, To a point, yeah, but also, I mean, I think that's fair to say, but at the same time, it just makes you question everybody in the church. Like, mm-hmm. and that's why it's just been frustrating for me. It's like, do you guys know something that I don't know? Like, why do you seem to have so much strength and belief for this one thing that I can't seem to feel for myself anymore?
So take that, you know, the false prophecy into question. So I sit here and wonder, because I mean, obviously, this is religion is a sticky subject, and I too have grappled with this over the years. I look at her life and the fact that happened, and she gets into like that false prophet or whatever, and she gets into that relationship, and then there's DV, and she had to go through all that. I'm like, why would God do that?
That's my thing is, like, how do you not question what you believe about God? Like, if you felt like God was telling you to do this thing mm-hmm. and it led you to a situation where there was domestic violence, like, how do you not question every other decision you have ever yeah. made in regards to your faith?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I think that, you know, at my base is the old cliche that I have 100% confidence in God. I can't figure out why he is putting me in the positions that he is putting me in. And I don't even question it anymore. I just try to figure out how to make my life better in order to get out of the situation. But I feel like that's a lesson to him also. And that might be very naive, but I tell you what, it has given me a lot of comfort.
Well, I love that for you because it's not giving comfort for me.
Right.
It took me way longer.
All right. It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
Our interview with Post Malone yesterday, when I look back in my career, is going to be the one where I'm like, it'll be the most memorable. And I can honestly say we've been lucky enough in here to have some pretty awesome interviews. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber. This was the very first morning show in the country that Justin Bieber ever did. So there's just this comfort level through the years when we've talked to him. He has given us epic interview stuff. He's told us that he has never told anybody before that goes viral every time.
Dude, we have a recent one. The one with Usher.
Usher.
Oh, my God.
That
gosh.
We sat and we talked for like what felt like 45 minutes, if I remember correctly, and he credited you with being the inspo for one of his greatest albums.
The Confessions album. That's the craziest thing.
That's the wildest thing I've ever heard.
It still doesn't make sense.
I can't even tell people that story and go, I swear, you got to listen to it. You got to look at the video because I'm not making that one up. Mm-hmm. Who's the Jesus-looking dude we had in? That was so great.
Jared Leto.
Yeah. That guy. That interview was brilliant.
If that's what Jesus looks like, I might run back to Christianity. Be like, Jesus, I'll be your homegirl. You be my homeboy.
My faith has been restored.
My holy father, hello.
I mean, over the years, J-Lo we have had in here.
She's great. She's been great. Kelly Clarkson's been phenomenal.
Always
her interviews
great.
Are always fantastic. You had an epic one with Mariah Carey where you actually turned her down.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's Mariah Carey who always been... Yeah, that was controversial in the beginning. Forget about all that. Forget about the 25 years of interviews. This one right here is going to be the one that I will remember forever because it highlights my buffoonery. The last couple of minutes, of this interview changes everything with Post Malone. Absolutely everything. And it will be the thing that these guys and you guys listening will always be able to give me crap about for the rest of the time that I am in radio and out of radio. It's that bad.
You're welcome.
Our interview with Post Malone.
You've played a game of beer pong or two, right?
Yeah, at backstage every show. Oh, we got it set up.
Do you? Are you good?
We'll see. You ready? Let's find out.
All right. So we're just going to do this as we're playing.
All right. So obviously you know how to play. You and Bert are teammates, but you're going against us three over here.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't come up with like what the winner gets.
We're not playing for cash.
No.
If you want to raise your stakes, you want to?
No. We can just play for fun.
Your bankroll might be a little higher than ours. Right. We're just playing for your cash.
$2.50.
All right, guests get to go first. Okay. So we'll leave this.
There you go.
We'll leave this right there for you.
Okay. Right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
Yeah, okay. First shot.
Off the rim. Okay. You get to go.
I should have been in.
Now I'm going. I think you go.
Oh, do we? And then we just go back
and forth? Back and forth.
I feel like I should know how to play this.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Mm-hmm. So I will tell you this while we're doing this is that.
Oh.
And this is such a testament to you that when we do like big interviews like this, I mean, you're a pretty big deal. I don't know if you know that.
I try to stay humble. But
you're a fairly big deal. So we all usually get like really nervous during these, and we all sort of confessed in studio that we weren't really nervous, and not as an insult, but I think that when we're doing our homework and we're watching interviews with you, you just have this way of putting everybody at ease, this natural sort of, and I think it's because you do have this sort of aura of like everybody's accepting and everybody's loved. And it's kind of beautiful.
I appreciate that. Definitely, man. I try to just be myself, honestly, at all times and just preach love, you know?
I also love like your, well, we're recording this, so I can use, you're not offended if I use a little profanity, are you?
No, I don't.
So you do have.
Job at first.
You do have this I don't give a f- attitude in a beautiful, beautiful way. Like, I love the way that you walk barefoot all the time because you want to stay grounded and you just kind of want to be in the moment. And you're just kind of like you literally don't care what anybody thinks. And like I said, I say that with the utmost respect and as a compliment. Is this something that you've honed or is it just like something you're born with?
I feel like everybody kind of struggles with that a little bit, worrying about what the outside world thinks, worrying about what everybody else thinks. But in high school, I definitely struggled with that a little bit. I would say probably around the time when I got my first face tattoo is when I really started not to care. I just kind of really dove into just be authentic, you know, just be myself. That's it.
I don't think it always used to be like that, though, because I was reading when you first started out. Hold on while I focus, focus.
So competitive.
Don't mess up.
When you first started, I saw that you were taking a lot of the negative comments personally. And do you still do that or are you over all that now?
I'm kind of off social media right now. So I feel like that's a big part. Like a lot of people look at the comments and they're worried about everything on social media.
Yeah.
I have people handle my stuff and I just stay off of it.
Was there one comment that you're like, I'm just not doing it anymore? Or did somebody have to come to you and say, you know what, dude, this is getting in your head. You're just not the same guy. Get off social media.
I don't know if it was one comment specifically. I think it was just, I just noticed it, that it wasn't healthy for me.
Yeah.
I would just go down a hole. There'd be 100 nice comments, 1,000 nice comments. Yeah. And then, you know, you focus on those 5 negative ones. And I just really, I noticed I was doing it to myself.
Yeah.
And said, I got to stop.
You didn't need it.
Just get off. Yeah.
Like maybe in the beginning of your career when you're connecting with people, but now you're big enough or your music does that for you. So you don't really even need it, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it.
Go ahead, Mo. I'll let you focus.
Let me get us on the board.
All right. Try to get us on the board. And then I guess.
Okay. Can we take it out?
Yeah. Who's gonna chug it? Is it gonna be Bert or you? There you go.
You were just on me. We were practicing beforehand. This dude didn't make one shot, and I'm sinking him left and right.
I always been better with the lights on.
I wanted to congratulate you on your new addition to the family.
Oh, that's so
the nice. Horse you just bought.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about his baby girl.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to talk about my dog.
Yes. But no, like news just broke, I guess, because, you know, obviously you're now in the whole, you're in the country world, and I don't know if that just came with the country territory, but your new horse, Ashtray, is...
Come on.
He's beautiful.
He's black and white, so it kind of it goes along with the ashtray, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always loved horses, been into horse racing, and we bought a house out in Utah. Got a lot of land out there, some lakes and stuff, and got to get a horse. You know?
Nice.
Have you been riding since you were a kid?
I have.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy serious, you know, no competitions, but just for fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my signature granny move, and then I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Got to focus, got to laser in.
You can only ask it if you make it.
She goes underhand.
No,
man.
You can only.
She shouldn't be able to ask it after going underhand at all.
No, do your thing. If you make it, you can ask a question.
If you make it, you can ask a question. Oh, that's what we should have done.
Yeah.
We'd have been here for half an hour then.
Okay. Oh, that was close.
I was going to be upset.
Hey, you know what? You hit a cup, ask a question.
So I feel like every artist is trying to get into the country genre, but have you always been a country fan, or were you inspired by an artist that made you think like, oh, I can do that too?
Yeah, that's a good question, definitely. My dad was like a DJ growing up, so he kind of showed me all different types of music, rock, country, R&B. So I was into everything growing up, and my mom was a huge country fan as well. So I've always loved country music. So,
like, of all your collabs so far, was there anyone that you were most nervous to work with or most excited?
Honestly, it might be Dolly Parton, just because.
Yeah, wow.
She's an American treasure, you know.
Yeah, once.
I saw I could be working with her, I was just so excited and a little nervous, definitely. So that's probably the one that made me the most nervous.
Okay. You guys good?
Yeah. This was amazing. Thank you so much for coming by.
At least two more shots from him.
That's no problem.
All right, last shot. This one's for all the money. If he makes this, you guys got to guzzle all of them.
That's absolutely not.
If I make it, game over.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, just making rules up on the fly.
This table's not regulation size, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Abby, you want to show him how to do that underhand shot? Thank you, dude. Appreciate it. Post Malone, man. Thank you very much.
Off the rim every time. Hey, it was awesome seeing you. It was good meeting you.
Thank you. Really good meeting you, too, man. I appreciate you.
Can we get some photos? Is that okay? All right, awesome. We're going to do it right over here. All right, we'll take a couple.
And then everybody slide this way.
Okay.
Say cheese. You're rolling.
Okay. All right, everybody look at Post Malone and say, April Fools! Tell him, Jimmy.
What's going on?
Oh, come on, man. I never even saw it.
Hold on. Did you really think the whole time?
I didn't know what you were doing.
You really did?
I didn't see it from this angle. I never even saw it.
I didn't bring it out of my pocket too much.
So this is a virtual listener, Jimmy, that looks just like Post Malone.
Shut the f*** up. So I got to be honest with you. When you came in, I'm like, that can't be. Are you kidding me? So Post is not coming today?
No. Let me tell you, I asked Claudia. We told Bert that Claudia, his girlfriend, is his personal assistant.
Holy.
And
I feel like such a.
I was in there. I was like, does that dude do improv? He is incredible.
So there were a couple of things. You walked in here and I'm like, because I've been watching a whole bunch of interviews the last couple of days. I'm like, bro's put some weight back on. That was my first one.
What I was saying. I was like, I think it's a little skinnier.
That was the first one. And the second one, I'm like, those face tattoos, they look too fresh. But I don't want to call it all out. But I had no idea. I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't. I was fooled. 100%. I couldn't even figure out why we were saying April Fools.
Yeah. You see the face?
I thought it was because of that. Yeah.
All right. So back in November, when I did a happy hour with Georgia Safe Retirement Planners, Jimmy and his girlfriend Claudia showed up, right? And they're hanging out. And I looked at him and I was like, bro, has anybody ever told you? And he's like, all the time. And I'm like, this would be the most amazing April Fool's prank on Bert. So now fast forward to March, I hit Jimmy and Claudia back up and I'm like, are you still game? And he's like, absolutely. So he went, got all the face tattoos, dude, did everything, did the research.
So good.
And then we did all this April Fool's. Because you're
and
not
you
here.
Guys knew?
I didn't know. I figured it out midway.
You did?
I didn't know. I didn't know.
How'd you find out midway?
I just knew he wasn't Post Malone.
Is that right?
Yes, and I was confused. I was like, maybe it's me, though.
He did take his left nub out one time.
Yep.
I did see it. I was like, I had a lot of questions.
You knew the whole time?
I knew, yeah.
Oh, you little bee.
I
knew Bert couldn't see it.
Also, I was like, in all these interviews I'm looking at, he's so comfortable, and he just seemed like, and he's coming in here all shy, and I'm like, well, maybe this is just really what he's all about. He's just kind of more shy. Y'all got me good.
Yeah.
I'll be like that.
I I can't believe we went the distance.
You sure did. Good for you guys. Oh. Good. Well, well played.
Jenny,
I'm not going to high five you because that would just be weird.
I felt like such an idiot. Because not only were these guys in on it, the whole radio station was in on it.
Yeah.
I got bamboozled by the whole radio station thinking I was really interviewing Post Malone. The behind-the-scenes stuff leading up to it may be better than the prank itself.
Oh, it is.
Oh, my God. There's so much to unpack here.
There's a lot to unpack. Later.
So we're back there for 20 minutes playing beer pong with Post Malone.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And I had zero idea that it wasn't him. This dude did, at least to me, look like Post Malone.
That's why I asked him to do the play.
All right, wait till you hear how Kristen and everybody else pulled this off. I'm so mad. I feel like such an idiot.
The Burt Show.